Last week we started into, it was an interesting time for me because I really didn't have a message when I stepped up here. I had a lot of little pieces of things, but no message. And God doesn't always do that to me that way, which I'm really grateful for. See, because see, while I was talking about emotions, the emotion that I felt was one of loneliness and solitude. Because why? Because that was the, I knew that was just the enemy trying to make sure to silence me as much as he could possibly silence me. I knew that that was what he was attempting to do, but I also knew that at the end of the worship, I just started laughing. And that's not my normal character, but at the end of the worship, I just started laughing. I wasn't making a real big scene about it, but I just started laughing because I could feel his pleasure even before the message started. I could feel his pleasure about what was going to happen, even though I didn't even have any clue what was about to be said. Glory to God. So anyway, what I wanted to key on is that we started with John 14 and 1, and it basically this tells us to let not your heart be troubled. To let not your heart be troubled. And when we're, that just tells us that whether or not our heart is troubled actually is something that we get to participate in. In other words, if he's saying that we don't have to let our heart be troubled, then there must be something that we can do to interact with him so that it's not troubled any longer. If our heart is troubled, it's only troubled because we haven't let Father God get involved in it yet. So that when he gives us a command, whatever command that he gives, that command always carries with it the grace to complete the instruction. And so there's a grace to let not our heart be troubled. There's a grace to receive, to allow our emotions to be sanctified in a way that begins to, instead of detract from the kingdom, add to the kingdom. And that's what we were basically speaking about. Because see, there's two kinds of emotions that we can have. Those that are kingdom emotions and those that are fallen man emotions. I don't know about you, but I've engaged in my share of fallen man emotions. I'm sure none of the rest of you guys are all holy, right? Right? You're holy? Tim's holy? We're all going to, there you go, speak that which is not as though it was. Glory to God. But listen. No, there's a difference between, see, speaking that which is not, you know, when you're speaking and you're aligning yourself with God, even though it may not be true at that moment, that is still not lying. Because the difference is the wisdom of God is in it. When we align ourselves with the wisdom of God, it's not a lie. It's just prophetic. Hallelujah. Come on. All right? I didn't actually say that first. I think John Paul Jackson said it first. I just stole it, so. I'll give whoever it was credit. I don't remember. Glory to God. Okay. Sanctified emotions. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with what? What's happening in your heart? What happens in your heart? It's where your emotions, where we hold our emotions. It's where we hold those parts of us, that part of our soul that decides what we're going to do. Because it's in our, when we trust him with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding, when we're leaning on our own understanding, what he's trying to say is don't lean on those unsanctified places. Don't lean on the unsanctified places. He's not against us having emotions. Guess what? Emotions are not the enemy. We've been taught and trained a lot of times to shut down the emotions, to deny the emotions, or to not allow some of those emotions to be, you know, happy, joyful, and fruitful, all right? I used to, and I'll make this PG for the crowd, I used to hang out with bikers, and I think the reality in that situation was that I didn't want to like just go and show the sensitive side of me. Okay? That gets you taken advantage of. So you shut down emotions because of your circumstance. You shut down emotions because you learned that, hey, if I put my expectation out there, if I trust in that, and it might let me down. So if I just don't trust at all, or I don't expect it all, then I just won't have to deal with it. The disappointment. Because, see, disappointment begins to speak louder than what the voice of God is. That's the thing that we're shifting to do is understand His heart and understand that God has kingdom emotions for us to explore. He has kingdom emotions, and guess what? He gave us a whole lot of our emotions. Not every emotion you have is a kingdom emotion, but there are definitely emotions that He gave and intended for you to have. Sometimes the emotions that we have didn't originate there. But the issue is not where it originates. Basically, the issue is not the emotion, but where does it originate from? So when we understand Him, we can understand that emotions are no longer the enemy. Hallelujah. When I was growing up, I saw Spock as my hero. Okay. Live long and prosper. You're not old enough to know. Gotcha. Gotcha. Come on. Everybody knows who Spock is. So see, the deal with Spock was he had no emotion. He had no emotion, and see, I associated demonstrating no emotion meaning that no one could hurt me. And so I began to just see that as my way of dealing with all the stuff that was around me. Guess what? All I did was I created my own prison. Because guess what? All those other negative things were still out there, and they were still coming in. I could just no longer get out. See, when I didn't really even discover that until I became a Christian, and I realized I have things that are outside this box that I've allowed, and I can't get there. I had to start giving God my yes to change. I had to give Him a yes to step out past those boundaries, and I had to basically seek to allow Holy Spirit to collapse those boundaries for me, those building things that I had blocked myself off with. But the other thing was is that it didn't keep the negative emotions from coming at me in spite of all the wall that I put up against it. But God has given us tools now so that we don't have to stay there. He's given us tools now so we can explore who He is, and we can explore what He's given us. We can explore this relationship with Him out of these tools. He's given us these tools that we can begin to recognize who He is and recognize His desire to have relationship with us. And as we do that, those tools now can actually explode these things off of our life. Let's see how we can do that. That last Monday when I went to pray and was praying with Pastor, and we basically laid out three different things that we saw that God was doing and we could do. And so that became a part of what we prayed that particular day. And I'll explain those three things, but I guess I'll give them to you real quickly just so you know what we're talking about as we go there. But number one is the word pass, representing present, acknowledge, surrender, and separate. Number two is kingdom calibration. Kingdom calibration. And number three, emotions empowering faith. In other words, it's a shift from where you were and where emotions were taking you away from kingdom and now are launching you into kingdom destinies. Because see, there's a shift that can occur because why? Because we're choosing to surrender it to God. The more that we choose that path, the more that we allow Him to minister into our hearts, the more that we can begin to find the destiny that was being precluded from us simply because our emotions were being tied to something that doesn't even probably exist anymore. You know, your emotions are oftentimes empowered or informed by the lies that you've experienced, the lies that you've believed out of your experience. Self-taught. The self-talk. What you say to yourself. What are you rehearsing? What are we rehearsing? Because if we're rehearsing what the enemy has told us, if we're rehearsing something that is less than God's truth, then we're rehearsing the very thing that's keeping us in doubt and unbelief. God has a word for your heart. He has a word that is going to supersede the situation. We just got to sometimes just quiet ourselves so we can hear it. See, we're taught to deny, and sometimes we're taught specifically not to even express our emotion. You rarely see me get up here and dance, which probably is a good thing in some ways, okay? But that is ultimately a suppression of emotions that I learned because... Why? I got made fun of for the way I danced. So I just suppressed that emotion. Don't be laughing at me. Polo's over here just giggling. He didn't help himself. But the deal is that whatever it is, the reality is we're in a world where we take these inputs and we internalize them in ways that often shut down our emotions. We take the inputs that the world has given, our circumstance, our situation, and we use it to define who we are and how we're going to feel about ourselves. You know, that's one of the things about shame. When we feel shame, shame is taking something where maybe you legitimately got caught at something you weren't supposed to be doing. Okay? But then instead of making an indictment about that particular action, you internalize it as a feeling about yourself as a person, as a whole. Very big difference. You might have done something that you should have felt guilty about, but instead now you just feel terrible about yourself instead of about the action. Very big difference. So we break off those things by allowing Him to have access to it. We break off these things because ultimately He doesn't need you under those covers and under those understandings anymore. When we're taught to deny and not express, basically is culture, circumstance, and the last one is religion. Religion often tells us to suppress. Our houses of worship, not this one, but you're told to sit down on a pew and you get to sit up and sit down and get to sit up and sit down, but you're not ever allowed to express real, honest emotion. You got to come in and you got to go out. Oh, don't leave the offering too. But you're going to come in and you're going to go out and you're going to stay in the same place instead of express. I'm stepping on toes, I know. Instead of expressing emotion, write me hate letter. That's okay. But you have to. But the reality is, that's why we encourage you to come in here, come up to the front, just get engaged. Why? Because when your soul gets engaged, your spirit now can get open. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to change. It's good to recognize what God is doing. It's good to give him an opportunity and recognize that as we present ourselves before him, yes, it might be a start off with just our soul getting engaged, but if we stay open, our whole atmosphere changes. The spirit now can become alive. Hallelujah. So let me just point out, just as, religion, go to Luke 15 real quick. Religion wants to tell you to shut it down. But that was never Father God's idea. That was never Father God's idea. And we can see evidences of it all throughout the Old Testament and New Testament. I'm just going to run you by a couple of them real quick because I want to explain a little bit more on the other, how we get out. But Luke 15, verse 7 says this, I will tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven. More what? What is joy? It's emotion. It's a spiritual force. More joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. If you look down through a couple more verses down, when he's talking about the prodigal son and the prodigal son's return, and they begin to celebrate. It says here in verse 23, and let us bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Let us eat and be merry. Whose idea was it to be merry? The Father God. Why? Because this is representing Father, how he looks to you and expects to interact with you. He wants you to be merry. And let's get it. Let's throw the Baptists under the bus here, okay? And now verse 25, his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard what? Music and dancing. Music and dancing. Yes. You didn't think you were allowed to do music and dancing, but where it is, right there. Father God's house, there's music and dancing. They's playing the funky music, my boy. Hey. That's right. I love that song. That point is that there's music and dancing. There's celebration. Guess what? Who was the author of all the feasts and all the celebrations? It was Father God. It was his idea. Is he against you having emotions? No. In fact, he has an expectation for us to have an emotion that's sanctified by his interaction. He has an expectation for us to have an emotion that celebrates who he is. Why? Because that celebration of who he is will also bring us into a greater reliance on what he can do and what he's changing, what he's transforming. Hallelujah. Luke 2 and 10. This is when Christ is being announced to the shepherds. And it says this, he will cause great joy. He will cause great joy. That's still celebrations. Still celebrations. There's one who calls us to walk in the river of his delights. In Hebrews 1, I'll just give you this last one here. Hebrews 1 and verse 9. There's so much there. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, this is talking specifically to Christ out of the Psalms. Therefore, God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy companions. He's speaking to the Lord Jesus himself as before he comes. And he says, I'm going to anoint you with the oil of gladness. I'm going to anoint you for this purpose. I'm going to anoint you with the oil of gladness because that's what's going to change the circumstance around you. I'm going to anoint you. Why? Why? What gives me my authorization? Because you loved righteousness and you hated iniquity. You love righteousness and you hate iniquity. In other words, you are wanting to stand with me. And so now I can deliver through you the oil of gladness that will shift a generation. Hallelujah. He hasn't stopped because, see, once he got a hold of it, once Jesus got a hold of it, guess what he did? He gave it to you. He gave it to you. John 15, he says, my joy may be in you that your joy may be complete. John 17, 13 says, say these things that I say these things that they have, that they may have the full measure of joy. In his very last moments on earth, his very last hours on earth, he's speaking and releasing the joy that is in him to change your life. He's releasing releasing that joy because he wants to be a world changer through you. And joy is that key. The emotion is that key. When we add faith, when we allow it to be aligned in faith, now it becomes something that adds to faith rather than detracts from faith. Hallelujah. Satan starts so early. He starts so early. He tries to change the lives of little children, to make little children feel all alone or feel desperate or all these other things. Broken is a good word there, yes. In other words, he works real hard to separate us from the natural joy that children have. He works real hard to speak and release things that are not truth into your life so they'll continue bearing a harvest later on in your life. So that people who are now 50 years old, when certain circumstances come up, they're still responding like they're three. If that hits you, I'm sorry. Because that's just the enemy and how he wants to plant something, because he understands that if he can plant it early, you don't have a defense for it yet. But here's the thing. We don't have to stay there. We don't have to stay there. We can change. We can transform. We can allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life. We can intentionally go before the Father with an atmosphere and an attitude to change. Because when we go before, that's why presenting, remember I told you a while ago, one of the P for pass was present. Present ourselves before the Father. Because when we present ourselves before the Father, we're presenting ourselves in an atmosphere that is ripe for change. We're presenting yourself in a heavenly atmosphere that is ready to make, bring forth love and hope and reassurance and kindness and gentleness and all those things that we need. Why? Because they exist in that atmosphere. The things that we're trying to avoid, the things that we're trying to deal with, are not part of the atmosphere of heaven. So now he gives us an opportunity to receive something that God has in mind for us. Why? Because we're being saturated everywhere that we look when we begin to show up with him. So presenting yourself before the Father is the first key. Presenting yourself is probably the biggest key, because the more time you spend with the Father, the more that he can saturate you with his environment, and that will begin to, by itself, change how you see. Because whatever you're spending time with gets on you. Amen? See, books and music, movies, we're all intended as an escape. But see, when we present ourselves with the Father, that's an escape too. But it's an escape that actually can bring forth a result. When you step out of the movie, guess what? You're within 30 seconds, you're right back where you were before you stepped in. even the Passion of the Christ is awesome as it was. And believe me, there were a lot of very somber, reflective people who walked out of there. But the deal is that, you know, you're still who you were before you walked in. Unless you allow it to change. Thank you, Jesus. So we present, and we, as you present before the Father, you present yourself, now you begin to acknowledge that emotion. And as you acknowledge that emotion, that just simply can just bring it out and just bring it raw. Whatever it is. Because guess what? He already knew it was there. So if you choose to hide it, who are you hiding it from? Yourself? So he knew that emotion, and guess what? He's not concerned about you bringing him the emotion. He's concerned about you camping there. If you can't see that emotion in Jesus, why do we tolerate it in ourselves? If we can see an emotion that's in Jesus, but we refuse to acknowledge it or interact with it, why are we not? In other words, we can see that how Jesus interacted with the world around him, and he did certain things, and he showed and demonstrated his joy. He showed and demonstrated his love. He showed and demonstrated those things. His level of peace was undisturbed regardless of what was going on around him. When he was in John 12, verse 6, when he was being anointed by Mary, and the ointment was being applied to his feet, and he was being anointed for his burial, and Judas jumps up and says, "Hey, why wasn't this given to the poor?" You know, his peace was undisturbed. He didn't look over there and say, "Judas, you little thief. I know what you're doing, and I know what you're up to." That's not his response. His response was to tell him, "Hey, this is for something you don't really quite understand yet, but it's for the day of my burial." He didn't lose patience with him. He didn't walk around in depression. He didn't get up one day. There was no day where he just got up and said, "Hey, Peter, I think you just need to go ahead and take the guys and go on, because I'm not feeling it today. You guys go minister, but I'm staying here, and I'm gonna bunker down, and I'm gonna just, you know, I got something that's on my mind here, and I'm gonna camp out here in this depression for a little bit." That's we don't see him doing that, do we? Okay. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. So when we come before him and acknowledge, we're giving the Father the opportunity to begin teaming up with us. We're allowing ourselves to be positioned now, because why? We're presenting it to the one who can begin to author our faith. Who can begin to offer a solution. So when we present, then we just surrender it. As we surrender it, you know, you're just going to the throne of grace. You're going in that moment, as you begin to surrender, you're going to the throne of grace, and you begin to engage his mercy and his grace to help with your time of need. Hebrews 4 and 16. You're also then want to step from the surrender, because the surrender is just giving him your yes. And then as you step from the surrender, now you begin to come and separate it. That's a point where, a time where you're allowing the Spirit of God to just walk with you, and you're becoming aware of what's available to us in the baptism of the Jordan. And we're also becoming aware of what's available to us at the sword. Hebrews 4 and 12 says that the sword will divide asunder soul and spirit. The sword of the Spirit will divide soul and spirit. It will divide even down to the bone and marrow. Why? Why is the bone and marrow? Because in those times, bone and marrow was inseparable. Even now, it takes an electron microscope to separate bone and marrow. That's how fine a line he brings. Because he'll take away the chaff, but he'll put the wheat in the barn. That's the process. You're stepping into a separation of allowing the chaff to be separated, allowing it to be washed off. As you're allowing, you step into the waters of baptism of the Jordan, you're allowing that old man to be separated from you and to be washed away. Yes. To be cleansed. To be cleansed. And as it's cleansed away, now all of a sudden you come out and you're ready for the next step. Okay, and in that next step, that's when we start into a kingdom calibration. That kingdom calibration is when he begins to speak life over you. You allow him to speak life over you. Kingdom calibration is when you begin to allow the process of him shifting your heart and your mind so that you begin to see who you really are out of his perspective instead of out of the old man's perspective. It's where we call the emotion into a divine order. Let me refresh myself on something here. See, because here you allow the emotions that were there, they're being washed away, and we're allowing him openness to just come and speak. One of the things that he, on Monday, he began to speak to me was just how accepted I was in him. And as he began to speak to me about that acceptance in him, he began that just created a reassurance and a confidence to go forward. As he began to speak about that acceptance that he had in him, then all of a sudden I just stepped into a place where suddenly I am in a place where I'm just surrounded by his glory. And as I'm surrounded by his glory, I became one with him because I was already accepted. And as I became one with him, the glory just became more intense. And as I became one with him, I became aware that in him, there's no moment of now. It's yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We're all accessible in this space. It was the same thing. So he could bring healing to my yesterday, even as he is making deposits for my tomorrow, all in the same moment, in the same moment. And I began to, while I was in this way, I began to go out in the spirit and visit a few people and just pray and release over their life. And I could release into their past, into their present, and into their future all in the same moment. It was a place where faith becomes so extremely easy. It was like, why was this ever difficult? Why? Because I had absolute assurance when you're walking with him in oneness, in this place. And I'm only telling you this because I want to encourage you, because if he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. And whatever emotion that ran through you thinking he wouldn't do it for you, that's one that you take to him. Take it to him. Because whatever that was a disqualifier that is only trying to keep you away from what God has for you. I'm aware of how the enemy tries to play tricks on our mind. He tries to make us make something out of something that never was. He's always trying us to get us moved out of our place or offended about something that was never, ever an issue in the first place. It's part of his formula. But now we have a we have something that we can respond with. We just take it to the Father and present ourselves and begin to acknowledge it and begin to allow the Father to dwell with you in it until there's victory achieved over it. Romans 8:2 tells us that the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. That's your place of separation. John 17:17 tells us that he will sanctify us by his word because his word is true. By his truth because his word is truth. There's a sanctification that happens because right there when we're in him and we're presenting ourselves with him and we've allowed those other things to go away, this kingdom calibration happens because we're allowing ourselves to step into now the actual domain of truth. When we step into that domain of truth, now truth is informing our belief system. Truth is informing our belief system, and truth will be what is informing then ultimately not just our belief system but our emotion. When truth becomes that which is informing your emotion, now where our emotion is lined up and is ready for kingdom dominion, all the sadness goes away. All the sadness, all the depression, all the pain, all the everything that the enemy has tried to place on you has to take a back seat now. Because in him, there's just faith. In him, there's just love. You know, now truly, that's I see the whole thing in Ephesians 3 where you're rooted in love. I see it differently now because this is what he's talking about. When I become one in him like that, I'm rooted in this love that cannot change. My circumstance can't change it. You know, that some of the people who are the most joyful on the whole planet were also some of the people that have been persecuted the most. There was a Jewish man during World War II, and they were going through, I mean, they were sticking live, hot, I mean, they would take a rod of steel and heat it up till it was glowing red and then stick it through his body. And he said, when I was in prison, it was the most joyful place I've ever been. See, joy is not about our circumstance. Joy is about our attitude with him. Now, I'm really, you know, I'm not volunteering for that assignment. But I can tell you, I agree, that joy is never about our circumstance. When we give our mouth to something, we shouldn't give our mouth to the circumstance. We need to give our mouth to what God is putting in us. Hallelujah. So when this happens, now we have emotions that are powering faith. And your emotions actually become a servant to faith. They become a servant to a heavenly atmosphere. Because it's the heavenly atmosphere now that has been downloaded to you in a tangible way and you're able to extend. We can actually truly be spirit-led in a new way. So much of what we do has really been informed by events that happened, things that we thought, instead of informed by what Heavenly Father is depositing. But we can change that. We now have a tool to change that. I'm expecting that when I come in here, people are, you know, as the weeks go by, people are going to get more and more excited about what's happening and more transformed by these encounters. Because, see, an encounter is just a moment. It's just a moment with God. We don't have to make it some super hyper spiritual thing. It's just a moment to share with the Father. And when it's just sharing with the Father, that's where the empowerment comes from. I mean, if people can get healing by just coming to a man and speaking to them, I've seen people leave my office healed and I never said anything. They came in, they dumped their stuff, and they walked out and they were good. I had to process for the next 30 minutes, but... But the deal is that if people can do that with a man, how much more with a Heavenly Father? And guess what? He doesn't have to process when you get done. He doesn't have to go, okay, Jesus, I got to give this. No. You can release it. You can release it. You know what? Just say that with me. I can release it. Whatever it is, I can release it. If it was fear, if it was depression, if it was trauma, it doesn't matter. I can release it. I've got tools. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there is nothing like having hope. There's nothing like having hope. I know last week I told you to spend more time with God than thumbing through your Facebook. But there was something on Facebook that was good. And it was this. It was, they had a mouse in a little beaker with water. Enough water that it had to tread water to stay on the top and to stay alive. And they let the mouse just tread water until it got exhausted and sunk. And then they reached in and they pulled it out. They lasted between 3 to 5 minutes. But once they had been pulled out, when they were dunked in it the next time, it went 55 minutes. Because it had hope that I'm going to get rescued. And it kept staying. And it kept paddling. And it kept staying on top. Why? Because hope transformed what it's able to do. It made it transcend, made him transcend what his physical capabilities had been. It wasn't that he was totally exhausted the first time. It was that he lost hope that there would ever be a change. This time he understood there was coming a rescue. And when there's coming a rescue, I will stay. I will fight until the rescue comes. I'm not just extending hope. I'm extending the possibility of who God created you to be. Because, see, when we lose all the negatives and we're no longer having to spend all our day dealing with our negatives, how much more productive do we get when we're looking and expecting and standing for the positives? Amen? Because that's awesome. That's awesome. You know, I just speak life. I just speak life. I speak life right now. Right now, I speak life. Wholeness, 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 life. Wholeness and life. I just speak and release life from the very throne room to be released upon you, to transform you, your belief system, to transform even the cells within your body. I speak and release life to bring forth peace in every cell, fullness of peace. So there's no place for disruption. There's no place for cancer. There's no place for sickness or infirmity. I speak and release life, and I speak and release that peace that transforms our understanding of who we are, and it begins to bring us into the destiny He created us to be. I speak and release that life now in Jesus' name. I speak and release that life now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for the wholeness that you have intended for each and every one of us, Father, here and abroad in every location, Father. I thank you for life being released. I release life over this side right here. I release life over your physical bodies. I release life over this side right here, over your physical bodies. I release life and I release understanding, newness of understanding, newness of understanding that God gives, that kind of understanding that transforms, the kind of understanding that causes increase, the kind of understanding that releases multiplication. I release life.